Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, I'm pleased to say, joined by the great Claudia Rosette, one of the truly stupendous investigative reporters of our time, or, well, for my lights, any time, but particularly in the past few decades, the reporting that she has done, the analysis, the investigations she's conducted, notably for The Wall Street Journal, have been not only prize-winning, but breathtaking in their importance and impact. These days, you can find her at PJ Media's Rosette Report. She is a foreign policy fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, and she also writes a foreign affairs column for Forbes.com. We're always thrilled to have her with us. Claudia Rosette, welcome back.
Thanks, Frank. Great to be here.
One of your special passions, I know for many years, has been North Korea. And I was very pleased to see in today's Wall Street Journal that John Bolton said what needs to be said, it seems to me, about the necessity of effecting regime change there in North Korea. Talk a little bit about both that insight and the fact that it seems to be exactly the opposite of what Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, has said as recently as earlier this week.
I mean, we're getting quite a set of mixed messages from the administration on this, but we've been getting crazy messages for decades at this point from a whole series of administrations. Ambassador Bolton, and I wish he were still in an administration, said in the Wall Street Journal, is we really need to be talking about military options, that's probably the only thing that's really going to stop what has become a rapidly progressing nuclear program. I mean, North Korea now has a nuclear arsenal, has tested two ICBMs last month. We're no longer talking about somewhere out there in the future. And Frank, we have, the United States has been discussing this and bargaining over it for so many years. None of this has actually stopped North Korea's nuclear program. One of the big problems being that North Korea is not run by a government that's concerned about how well its people are doing. It's run by a totalitarian regime that didn't mind starving an estimated 1 million North Koreans to death in the mid-90s as they sort of diverted food only to those deemed the most loyal. And now that there has been a hereditary succession while on President Obama's watch, Kim Jong-un has been in power for more than 5 years. He's managed to do away with various potential rivals. He's executed his uncle. His half-brother was assassinated with VX nerve agent in a Malaysian airport. And this is the regime that is testing nuclear weapons.
Claudia, that point is so well taken, that a government that treats its own people so horribly is unlikely to deal with ours, or for that matter, others we care about, with anything more gentle, shall we say. I'm wondering, you've written at PJ Media about North Korea's ICBMs and our words. Yet I think you were pleased shortly thereafter that Nikki Haley at the United Nations, our ambassador there, responded rather better than just doing more words. Talk about what is going on inside the Trump administration, as best one can tell, vis-a-vis North Korea, and somewhat at odds with the seeming thrust of Rex Tillerson's views.
Sure. As best one can tell, we have President Trump saying, we'll handle it. You know, don't worry. Well, that's very generic. Then we had, after North Korea's second ICBM test in a month, there was this great outpouring of words. There's a formula reaction that the U.S. and various other prominent voices have to every North Korean milestone in its nuclear missile program. They condemn, they deplore, and then usually there's an emergency meeting of the Security Council at which Russia and China stick up for North Korea, everybody discusses, and then maybe there's a statement or another sanctions resolution, and then we do it all again, except North Korea has advanced further. Well, that was exactly the formula that was being followed on Saturday. President Trump said the U.S. condemns the launch. Secretary of State Tillerson said the U.S. strongly condemns the launch. And I wrote something saying, you know, this is just words. Well, on Sunday, Ambassador Haley put out a statement saying, actually, contrary to the report, some reports, that the U.S. is not seeking an emergency meeting of the U.N. Security Council. And I thought, aha, finally, a break in this pattern. That's different, because one of the problems with this pattern of words, is that North Korea almost certainly regards it as reassuring. It's the usual formula. They do something, we react with all sorts of statements that have been rendered meaningless because we don't do anything that really hurts them. And this is a small change, but at least what Ambassador Haley said was not only that she wouldn't be seeking an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council, but that to hold a meeting that didn't really produce anything of worth would be worse than ineffective, because it would simply tell the North Koreans, we're not serious. She said, the time for talk is over. And I thought, hallelujah, because we have talked for more than 20 years.
As this problem has metastasized. Now, Claudia, let me, in the closing couple of minutes we have with you, ask you about one of the reasons why that's so. And again, you've spent a lot of time in that part of the world covering China for the Wall Street Journal, among others. And I'm wondering what you're making of the Chinese conduct at the moment. They certainly don't seem to be backing away from North Korea. In fact, the president's made no secret of the fact he's very frustrated that his new pal, Xi Jinping, turns out not to be cooperating with the United States and bringing the North Koreans to heel. But more to the point, Claudia, as you know, on the occasion of an anniversary of the founding of the People's Liberation Army, President Xi unburdened himself of a very, very nationalistic, aggressive, and in fact, quite threatening speech. And I wonder, are we now looking at the inevitable result of all of this palaver, which is not only an increasing danger from North Korea, but a China that is increasingly confident that it can support the North Koreans, it can exploit their bad behavior to the benefit of China and threaten us with impunity?
Yes. In fact, we're looking at the problem also of not just with China, but behind them is also Russia, with which they have been conducting joint military maneuvers for years now. And that is not something that developed on President Trump's watch. That really began to become a serious problem on President Obama's watch when nothing was done. And it was only in the final year of his administration, or actually only after the election, that suddenly a great alarm went off over Russia. Until then, he was rather dismissing it. But yeah, Frank, the problem here is, and by the way, let's just add that after Nikki Haley said all these things where I thought, yes, the pattern's being broken, then Secretary of State Tillerson came out with a statement on Monday saying, we're not seeking to overthrow the North Korean regime, or we're not their enemy. You know, we want to find some solution that, well, they'll feel okay. Which I thought, they are our enemy, actually. They're threatening us with ICBMs. That's not good. The problem that we have at this point, and it's not a pleasant one to face, but we really have to, is that there is this rising network. You know, we could call it an axis, a network, a set of connected countries that with interests hostile to the United States. And they, 20 years ago, the U.S. was really sort of the lone superpower. We're still a force that could obliterate any given enemy. But there is this latticework rising, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea with its weapons, you know, which otherwise is a country that's really nothing. It's an inconsequential, beggared tyranny. But it's now got these terrible weapons, and it holds Seoul hostage with its artillery. It's got this huge and increasingly dangerously armed military. You've got this whole nexus. And I've been skeptical for years that China will ever really help with this. I think the official line from China is that it doesn't want North Korea going nuclear. It wants stability and so on. It wants a status quo. If you look at their actions, that is not what they've been willing to tolerate.
Including arming the North Koreans, as best we can tell. Claudia, we are out of time. There's so much more to talk about. I hope you'll join us again very soon. But thank you for this call for regime change in North Korea. I think we can accept no substitutes. There are dangers associated with it, to be sure, but the dangers that are coming in its absence make those pale by comparison, I'm afraid. I appreciate the work you do at PJ Media and also at Forbes and, of course, with the Independent Women's Forum, but most especially our visits with you. Come back soon. Next up, we'll talk with Elizabeth Yore about female genital mutilation and why it must be ended today. That and more, straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.